Okay. The question that was pulled from the box today, in case you forgot it or you didn't hear it all, the biblical belief, and I would put quotation marks around that because there are a lot of different folks that read the Bible and have different understandings of it, but the biblical belief gives the earth as being about 6,000 years old. Yet science claims it to be billions, or at least multi-millions. Should we be so vain as to think we are the first creation? After all, God has been forever. Maybe this earth, as it is only 6,000 years old, made of recycled stuff that is all those other years old. That there were other biblical cycles such as ours several times before, and we need only to know and be concerned with our present one. After all, where did the angels come from? Were dinosaurs from other planets? I don't know what this word is, but after it, it says,
"Destroyed from other planets, destroyed and remade."
Okay, destroyed and remade. That looked like a peak.
In other words, the universe got destroyed before, and God squished them out and recycled them.
And remade it. So in case you had questions about who might have written the question. But that's a whole lot, and that's several things in all of that. It is the subject of all kinds, and has been the subject of all kinds of debates, etc., all the way, way back. I'm reminded that as the church decided to excommunicate Galileo, one of his famous or infamous statements that helped to get him excommunicated was, "The Bible does not tell us how the stars go. The Bible tells us how we are to go to heaven." And Einstein, talking about the importance of science and religion together, not separate, and then others that go on and on. There have been a number of debates, even in the last couple of years, between Bill Nye, the science guy. I haven't watched the debates. I just have heard about them. Bill Nye, the science guy, and somebody Ham, I think Ken Ham or something, that's creation, and they're building the Ark in Kentucky. But aren't they building a? Okay, and they're building an ark in Kentucky.
Well, they've got a museum there as well.
Yeah. I don't know if we flood again, if it'll be Kentucky, but no.
The scientists and all, I know they say dinosaurs and all that was back before they say God created the earth. How about man?
Well,
found any men?
Well, no, and actually there are those within within theistic evolution, within intelligent design, within other perspectives that seek to pull science and religion together and science and the Bible together, who will talk about, you know, the dinosaurs were prior to men, but they weren't before God, that God made them, and it's part of this process, and that God makes. When God in Genesis 1 speaks things into being, and he speaks to different animals and birds and everything else, he says, now, after their kind, then they do all that kind of stuff. But as far as, you know, I hadn't seen any real ETs or that kind of stuff.
But there's nothing in the Bible that says when God created them.
No, there's not. It just says, well, and that's a very good question, a very good point, Robert. The thing, and where we often get, and even in some of the better translations of the Scriptures, the translation of Genesis 1:1 says, "in the beginning." But actually in the Hebrew text, the definitive article there, "the," is not there. It's, if you translate it literally from the Hebrew text, it says, "in beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Not "in the beginning," as in there was never anything else. So it's kind of how you look at that, and you know, and what some folks, intelligent design, gap theory folks, and that has nothing to do with spark plugs. The gap theory basically says that there is a period of time between Genesis 1:1 and then the rest of the creation. Yeah, and that, in fact, there are all kinds of variations on the gap theory as well. That that God began in beginning, the Hebrew writers say, in beginning, that is, when God decided to create the earth and populate it with, you know, to make a terrarium and then an aquarium and an aviarium and finally a petting zoo, and then he puts people in the petting zoo. I mean, because if you stop before people, then that's all you got. That before all that happened, there could have, you know, there could have been other things that God was creating and setting up this part of the solar system where we are. Then there are those who say, no, it is in the beginning. This is the first thing that God made. And that the earth is only 6,000 years old. A lot of that's based on the chronology of Bishop Usher, who tried to count back from the various generations in the Old Testament, but not every generation is listed there, and came up with a creation date of 4004 B.C. Yes, Susan?
Mm-hmm. Does it say in the beginning there?
Yes. No. No, it says in the beginning, which, and John, when it says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word, not anything was made without Him, that's in the beginning, but that could be in the beginning of everything as opposed to in beginning this heavens and earth. And these are some of the arguments that circle. Then there are those that say no. That proves that in the beginning, John had it revealed to him that in the beginning, when God does, the Word is there, and that's when God began creating, because it says, Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning. So there are all kinds of understandings and ideas there. This is a copy of the Pentateuch and Haftorah, and it is written and edited by a rabbi, and actually a conservative rabbi. He's not Reform, he's not Orthodox. The conservative rabbi, J.H. Hertz, been around for a while. And in looking at this, he talks about creation. And ages untold may have elapsed between the calling of matter into being and the actual reduction of chaos into ordered arrangement. So you've got rabbinic discussions even going on with those kinds of things when it's talking about in beginning. But when you get over to, and the one of the keys is when you get over to day, and it was evening, it was morning, one day or one yom. Most translations say the first day, right? Then there was evening and there was morning, the first day. And yes, they were operating, the writers were operating, and this isn't written down actually. There's oral tradition, but probably not written down until after 587 B.C. Genesis chapters 2 and following was written somewhere around 1000 B.C.
How do they know how to constitute a day when the day is the earth spinning around and the earth hadn't been created?
Well, they're writing it in retrospect.
In other words, they're saying for every 24-hour period that we're going by, what will be a watch one day or something like that.
Well, they see, initially, For a lot of ancient people, you know, I mean, you got the sunrise and the sunset. What happens within Judaism is you have a lunar-based calendar, so it goes from evening to evening, started in darkness. You know, their understanding, it's a theological statement too, that before God there was darkness and chaos, or before God created there was darkness and chaos, and out of that darkness and chaos, God created good and order, and begins with light. It's interesting to note that. And there are all kinds of things. I was listening to a discussion recently where there were folks saying that actually Genesis 1 has two parallel stories. It's Hebrew parallelism. Light and darkness, and on day 4 is the parallel, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And you know, then you move from light and darkness to the firmament and the gathering of the earth, and then you got the seas and the waters and the creatures of the air and the creatures of the seas. And so you end up with two parallels. And actually, this guy was talking in this discussion, and he said, He said, actually, there were only three periods of creation. There weren't six because they're parallels. So, you know, there's no shortage of theories. And as I will tell you that Ken Ham, the guy with the Creation Institute, basically says there's only one way to know for sure, and that's from an eyewitness, and none of us were there, so we have to trust that what God passed down in Genesis is the eyewitness account. But it also, that doesn't take into account allegory and simile and those kinds of things. But Hertz writes concerning the day. This is not an ordinary day. See, a lot of folks say, okay, the writer, the Hebrew writer, is dealing with a 24-hour period. Light and dark, and light again, and dark again, and those kinds of things. Although he starts with dark and then light. But he writes, this is not an ordinary day, but a day of God, that is, an age. So here we've even got a very conservative rabbi, arguing that it wasn't a 24-hour, and that it's not important if it's a 24-hour period or not, that it's a day of God, which is an age of God. And God's, and then he references Psalms where he says, with him 1,000 years, nay, 1,000 ages are but a day that is past. Where he references Psalm here, saying then, therefore, and another rabbi and Old Testament scholar, Delitzsch, writes, and I quote, and he's quoted by Hertz, earthly and human measurements of time by a clock of human manufacture cannot be applied to the first 3 days, as the sun was not even then in existence. The beginning of each period of creation, then, is called morning, and its close, evening, in the same way we speak of the morning and evening of life. End of quote. So, even these rabbis, for ages, have been discussing, does it literally mean 24 hours, or is it an age, like we talk about ages of life and death, and the close of an age, and those kinds of things. Is the purpose of the writer to give a blow-by-blow description of what happened historically and time-wise, or is the purpose of the writer to say God is the one and the only one who creates, and God had an order and a purpose in creation? And as I often say, and God didn't get halfway through something and say, whoa, hold on, wait a minute, time out, I had a thought, let me go over here and do something before I forget. And those kinds of discussions. So, but there is something called young earth versus old earth ideas. Those who support the young earth model typically will say the biblical writer would have spoken more clearly of ages as opposed to day. Well, all he knew was day and night. Jack Collins, who's a professor at Covenant Theological Seminary, says, actually, not necessarily. He does know, in fact, the cycles in the Middle East, when he talks about the greater light and the lesser light and the stars are for seasons and for marking time and days and seasons and years and those kinds of things, that actually is not to be used. It speaks more to the seasons of the year, and that God provided not just time as in tick, 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 tick on our watch, but God provided periods in which things grow and things don't. Unless we grow them in a greenhouse hydroponically, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I just feel like we're on a need to know basis, and we truly don't need to know what happened a billion years ago.
Or 6,000 years ago,
yeah,
as Ken Ham would say.
Well,
except he would say it is important to know that it's, and to note and believe that it's only 6,000, because if you don't, then the Bible lies about time.
Well,
but
we can't handle more than 6,000 years, so I think that's what we've been given, you know.
Right.
Like I said, everything that, where the dinosaurs came from or whatever else, it could have been in a galaxy a long, long time ago, far, far away between the force and the evil and everything else, you know. And other Earths and generations could have been destroyed before, and then he brought all this matter back together again and formed this earth this time from three or four planets, matter before and everything else. I mean, you know, maybe some, maybe not, but
well,
you've got the mentality of whatever he made it up of could have been used.
Well, you know, if God is God, then, you know,
yeah,
God could do whatever and reuse, or God can speak things into existence. In Genesis 1, That's the thing. And I think what is helpful sometimes is to remember when these things were written, not just that it's a pre-scientific age, because there are a lot of things that you get to looking at and scientists get to looking at it and say, well, wait a minute, you know, they're describing it in a pre-scientific age, but what they're describing is actually a process that does take place, or that could have taken place, or that did take place. But if you're looking at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 4a, and if, as the best scholarship, including the best rabbinic scholarship, says, okay, this was probably written down, it was passed on orally, but probably written down around 587 B.C. or so. What was happening then? Well, scads of Jews had been carried off from Judah to Babylon, and they didn't think that would happen because what that said to them was perhaps the Babylonian gods were more powerful than they thought, and their God wasn't. And so they start raising questions about the power of God, the care of how much God really cares. Is God only powerful as so many of the other nations' gods were in their nation? Perhaps you get further away, God's not powerful. Temple worship ceased because the only place to worship was in the temple in Jerusalem, and here you got these pagan temples. Sacrifices ceased to God because it might be construed as a sacrifice to one of the pagan gods. And it's into that kind of situation, that kind of milieu, that you've got this account being told and retold and written down that says, look, in beginning, God created it all. And without God's creating, nothing would be. And in this, you've got a mysterious and mystical account where God is powerful enough to speak things into existence. Genesis chapter 2, you got God playing in the dirt. But Genesis chapter 1, God speaks things into existence. So if God can do that, then God is all powerful. If God was present in that chaos and can bring order and good, guess what? God is here in Babylon in the middle of your chaos and can bring order and good if you will listen, if you will pay attention, etc. And don't think that these animals and the sun, you know, the sun, the moon, the stars being listed after light is to say, oh, all these Babylonians and others who think, well, the sun is a god and the moon is a goddess and all. No, they're creations of God because God could create light totally independent from these other things. Now, there's some folks that say, okay, the light that was created before the sun, the moon, and stars was that big bang. And it was that light emanating from the Big Bang. You know, so they try to explain it that way. Scientists, but were they there? No. No. It's speculation. You know, it's speculation. But, you know, and yes, God cares about all of this creation, but the crowning touch, the pinnacle of that creation is, and God said, let us make Adham, people, mankind. Now, in Genesis 2, you got Ahama, the man. A specific man and woman. And there are people who will try and explain Genesis 2 as Genesis 2 is simply an in-depth report on the creation of humans in Genesis 1. Except it's got a different order to it. And in Genesis 2, you got the man made before the garden, before the plants, before the animals, and before the woman. So what is the purpose behind these? Is it to give us a scientific explanation of everything in beginning, or is it to say, look, God created, and God created in God's time, which is, God is infinite, we're finite, God created in God's time. And we, I mean, actually, this whole thing, 1,000 years, yea, 1,000 ages is as but a day. What is that? No English teachers can answer. What is that? Uses like or as? Now English teachers can answer. It's a simile. It's a simile. It's not an equation. It's a simile. That. Do what? No. No, it doesn't. Right. Well, and, you know, and most, and history as it went along and people as they developed said, okay, Mrs. Vaughn's class, sixth grade, she was teaching us world history. And we were told, and most folks will say, except for the Chinese now, but most folks will say, the birthplace of civilization was in this Mesopotamian, all the way down Egypt, this whole area. And when they draw it on a map, they draw it in the shape of a what? What kind of moon?
A crescent moon.
And it was known as the Fertile Crescent. Yes. You didn't have Ms. Vaughn, but you learned it too. Yeah. The Fertile Crescent, also known as the birthplace of civilization. And if you look at these descriptions, even in Genesis, when you have the description of where the Garden of Eden was, in Genesis 2, the rivers, one of them we don't know where it is, but we do know that, let's see. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one which flows around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and onyx stone are there. Well, we really don't know where Havilah was. But the name of the second river is Gihon. It is one which flows around the whole land of Cush. Well, where was Cush? The Cushites were from northeastern Africa. Maybe the precursor to the Nile or something. And the name of the third river is Tigris, which flows east of Assyria, and the fourth is the Euphrates. So where was the Garden of Eden in their conception? Right there in the Fertile Crescent. Of course, then they would argue later that because of man's sin, and the man and the woman sin, and the land suffers as well, that's why you got all this non-arable land and all this desert and everything else through there is because of the sin of humanity. Some people say, oh, well, if God, and there's some who argue, if God created in ages and dinosaurs and you got all these animals getting disease and dying or the big meteorite hits the earth or whatever, that's really evil that they die. And if God's a God of good and God of life, then why would they all die out like that? Because that's evil. Because in Genesis, they say, it says, you shall not kill in Exodus. But in Genesis, it says they're eating. And what are they eating? From the garden. Doesn't talk about eating meat till after the fall. But interesting thing is, the death of animals, and even the rabbis argue, the death of the animals is not something that is evil. Death enters the world because of human sin. Death of humans enters the world because of human sin. All of these things play into these discussions about, is it 6,000 years old? Is it 250 million years old? And all kinds of points in between. If God is God, they said in 587 B.C. or so, they said if God is truly God, God can speak things out of nothing. God could create and just like that, each thing. Or it could take, there are people who talk about intelligent design, who talk about, okay, God creates, but God creates in God's time, which may be tens of thousands of years for us, but for God, it's just like a day.
But I find it interesting that language is a supernatural force.
Yeah.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was
that's right. No.
Like a mind map, he uses language.
Language is a supernatural force, and glad that you mentioned that too, Susan, because blessings and curses in the ancient world. The belief was when you spoke that word, God started doing it. Words carried force.
And meaning.
Yes, force and meaning. And if you spoke a curse, go back to the story where you got Esau and Jacob, and Esau sells his birthright, and then Jacob steals the blessing right before Isaac dies. He gives the blessing to Jacob, thinking it's Esau. And then Esau comes in. Jacob hustles out, and Esau comes in with the wild game and all this kind of stuff. He says, bless me, Father. He said, wait a minute, who are you? He said, well, I'm Esau, your son. Then who was in here that I just gave the blessing to? And Esau says, must be Jacob. Is he not rightly named? For he has supplanted me two times, because Jacob means he takes by the heel. It also means he supplants. And then he said, give me a blessing, Father. And he said, well, I've already given the blessing, and I can't take it back. It was just like if I stood up here and took my crossbow and somebody walked in that door and I'm thinking, and let it go. And I said, oh, wait a minute. That's Al. I didn't mean to shoot. Guess what? I can't reach back and grab it. It's going to do its damage. It was the same thing with blessings and curses. The spoken word is powerful and meaningful and all of this. And so with this, by God speaking things into existence, it shows the supernatural nature of God. Not God's, but the supernatural nature of God. And all of that. And it gives them a sense of hope that even here in the middle of all of this chaos, God is present, God's power, and God's force, and not Luke, but God's force is here. And so then he says, well, do you not have a blessing for me at all? Because the blessing for Jacob was to have the dew of the heavens and the fatness of the earth and all this kind of stuff. And he says, well, okay, sure, I'll give you a blessing. Away from the dew and away from the fatness shall you live your life. And you shall serve your brother until you break the yoke off of his. Esau says, So I'll serve him till you're dead, and then I'll kill him, and I'll be out of it. And that's exactly what he tells Jacob, and that's why Mom sends Jacob away real quick, is because of that. So you do have that supernatural speaking things into existence, whereas Genesis chapter 2, which is written around 1000 B.C., almost 500 years earlier, over 400 years earlier, has a different approach. That this God here is involved in relationships with people and wants to have relationships with people. And so God plays in the dirt and makes people. I've heard all kinds of things, including that it was multicolored clay that he used. Seriously. There was a guy at a professional meeting. I don't know how professional he was, but there was a guy at a professional meeting probably 25, 30 years ago that was delivering a paper about creation and all. And he said, you know, that all the races come because God, the clay in that area is not necessarily pure, and God was using clay that had multifaceted colors and all this kind of stuff, and that's where they all came from, that single ancestor. Then others have argued that, okay, you had one people and one group and one nation, once again, the word being spoken, one nation, and Tower of Babel, they're trying to be like God. And so God confuses the language. They get together and they start wandering off. And that's why you got different language groups and why the ones that go north are typically lighter skinned and the ones that stay south are darker skinned and all kinds of points in between. So, you know, there's no shortage of theories. But what happens is, and especially these days, I'm finding more and more folks that have doubts about all of that because, well, science shows this, and science shows that, and science says this. Of course, I remind folks that those are theories. And they say, well, but wait a minute, we do this experiment. I said, has that experiment ever gone wrong, even once? Well, yeah, but so-and-so might have done something. But the experiment went wrong, right? How do you explain the aberration? It's God who creates, and it's God who gives us the intelligence. It's also God that's in the mystery. So, I guess we want these days, especially late 20th century, people want the facts. And I don't mean the facts, right? We want to have certitude. I mean, look at how chaotic the world is. I mean, back in the 70s, the Temptations called it a ball of confusion. Ball of confusion. That's what the world is today. Well, see, the thing is, we are locked into a time frame, right? And we can only see. How far in the past can you see? How far in the past can you remember?
Walking across 86 to Papa Moore's
door. Yeah. Okay. And that's good. My parents used to tell me, I don't remember riding a tricycle down two flights of steps and then turning around and saying, Mommy, I fall down. And tried to take the trike back up. But, you know, we're limited in our view and scope, and yet God is eternal, which means there's no beginning and no end. How can we who are finite? Yes, we want to know the facts. And people say, well, I don't know the facts and I can't do this, so how can we trust it? And that's part of the point. You have to decide, is the writer trying to give you science? And you're going to argue that. Or is the writer trying to say something deeper than just the facts? And he wasn't there for it anyway. But that God, and I guess part of it is how you take this, that God gives truth and protects the truth while not necessarily running it in the top of your head and out through your fingers and you're just the typewriter. Well, I guess these days it's a keyboard. Or maybe it's the tweet or the text. So, if God is, if we believe that God truly is God and God is powerful and God made this and continues to create. We know all this stuff about science and birthing babies and that kind of stuff. But I still go back to a little plaque that Mary found back when Stephen was a baby and said, the birth of a baby is God's decision. The world should go on. We understand, but we understand some things, but there's still all kinds of things we don't understand about life and about the human body and all those kinds of things. And why? I mean, we still don't know. Why does something go haywire and turn on the cancer gene when we've all got that possibility within us? There has to be a designer behind it who understands those kinds of things. We find this here, and what the writer is trying to say is, God created. That's the important thing. It's not happenstance. We're not just here by chance. We do have a purpose. And that purpose is somewhere in God's, not only God's mind, but God's action, God's spoken word, but God's action in that speaking of the word. And why does, I guess it comes down to your question, why do we have to narrow down and say, oh, well, we can pinpoint the date right here? That's right. They don't celebrate birthdays. Jehovah's Witnesses. That was handed to me at a gas pump yesterday. I'm so many years old and I was born on this day, but they don't have celebrations for that. Because there's something bigger and something more important than those kinds of things. Right. Mm-hmm. When, where, what was it like? I don't remember. And so, but there are people, and there are many people, and many good people of faith that say if you don't take it literally as 24-hour days, because we live in 24-hour days, well, not quite 24, it's a few seconds short, but in 24-hour days, if you don't take it literally, then it's not true, none of it's true, and you don't believe any of it. When we finally get there, praise God. Is that going to be why we get in? Because we say, well, yeah, I took it literally. Or is it something that's far greater? And all of that. Of course, I try to sometimes if I'm in a wrong mood, or at least they think it's wrong. If I'm in a wrong mood, sometimes I'll ask questions. Okay. I had a student one time who is now part and has been for a couple of decades part of a community church in Greenville. And I still remember. I don't remember the specific date, but I still remember the day. I still remember it was New Testament class. I still remember the look on his face, and I still remember his name. Who we were talking about Revelation in New Testament, and talking about the apocalyptic language and how it's not meant to be taken literally and all this. And he said, well, I take it all literally. I said, you do? He said, yes. He said, you don't take it? I said, no. He said, you don't take Genesis chapter 1 literally? I said, I understand this about Genesis 1 and the language, and what I see is the importance there and the message there about God and God's creating and that kind of stuff. I don't take it as a science book. I believe it's the Word of God. I believe it's there for a purpose of helping us understand who God is. And he said, well, if you don't take it literally, you don't believe anything in the Bible. I said, so you take the Bible literally? He said, yes. Every word means what it says and says what it means. Well, I did ask him about parables, and he said, but...
And Moses could be even writing with hints of parables within this, that, and the other, and that sort of thing.
And he's... Right, right. Well, and he said, he did say that that when Jesus spoke of the rich man and Lazarus, that was not really a parable. That was an actual incident that Jesus knew about. And so I said, okay. So you take... You take the whole Bible? He said, yes, from cover to cover. And then I brought up, I said, well, which account of Genesis are you going to jettison because they have two different orders and two different purposes? I said, is man created last or is man created before the garden and the animals and the fish and the birds and the woman? And he came with the gap theory on that one.
We were talking about Methuselah being 969 the other day. And you
right.
The likes of, well, lunar this and that, whereas 1 month could equal 1 year. And that almost... Right.
Well, but every so often they throw in an extra month of days to get the years caught up.
I noticed that the Bible wasn't long, and I was into the Old Testament last week. When you get up into Moses, the old age drops to 127, 134.
Well, you've got the explanation in Genesis chapter 6, then, that God says, okay, no longer will men live all these years, but I shall limit them to 120 years. But that takes a while to take effect. So then I looked at this particular person. I almost said his name just then. I looked at this particular person and I said, okay. I said, well, let me ask you another question. I said, David took a census of the people, right? He said, I think so. I said, yes, he did. And he gets punished by God. He said, okay, yeah, I remember that. I said, why? He said, because the devil made him take it. I said, well, that's in Chronicles. But if you read it in Kings, the Lord... indicated he needed to number the people, and then for some reason. I said, so which one of those are you going to get rid of? Was it God or was it the devil? And then we moved to the New Testament for some things. I said, on what day did Jesus die? He said, Friday. I said, oh, that's what Mark, Matthew, and Luke say, but John says on Thursday. So which one of those are you going to get rid of? Well, I said, no, you said literally, every word. And then we got over to some other things, and finally... After I exasperated him on one of them, he said, well, I take it literally. Every word means what it says, except where it tells you it's not to be. But he couldn't tell me. So all of this is to say, Ed, we could say yes. If God did something somewhere else and decided, well, I'm going to recycle these things. I'm going to, you know, Mr. Bill, I'm going to stretch him, pull him apart, put him back together. No, yeah, or not Mr. Bill. He'd say, oh, Mr. Bill. The clay figure. No, not Gumby. It was the other one that, and he'd go, oh, no. But, yeah. Now, Ken, you ought to have this on video instead of just. If God wanted to do that, then if God is God, God can do that. Why does it matter to us that we know exactly when creation was and exactly how it was done, or are there deeper matters? What happens is a lot of folks then who want to discredit the Bible, what they turn around and do is they start pointing to things and this kind of stuff, and they don't recognize progressive revelation. They don't recognize metaphor and simile and allegory and parable and all of these other things. I was at Southern Seminary, and I know we're running a little bit late. I was at Southern Seminary doing some doctoral work when the trustees met in 1990, late fall of 1990, and beginning of 91. And they said in order for anyone to continue teaching for Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, for anyone to be hired, for anyone to get any promotions or any raises, they must agree to several things. And they had a litmus test of things. Among those were that Genesis chapters 1 through 11 relate history exactly as it happened scientifically, historically, psychologically, religiously, and that Adam and Eve were the first literal people, and something else about how they were created. Well, I'll tell you, and that's another good question. Because if you have Genesis chapter 1, God creates Adam, God creates people. They start with two prototypes, but creates people who populate the earth. Genesis chapter 2, God creates the man, Adam. Later he creates Isha, the woman, for she came from Ish, man. And then we're not told anything about any other people until Genesis chapter 4. And Adam knew, Yada, you, his wife, and by the way, they're not even called Adam and Eve until after the fall. It's just man and woman. And she conceived and bore a son and called his name Cain. And he knew her again, conceived, bore a son, called his name Abel. Later they have Seth, but during all of this, there's nothing and nothing, and after a while, the farmer, Cain, and the shepherd, Abel, decide to sacrifice to God in thanksgiving. They weren't required to do it. They decided to do it. And we know the story. And Cain gets mad because God won't take his leftovers and because Abel gives the best of his flock. And God gives him a chance again. Says, you know, if you do the right thing, in other words, give me the first fruits, showing that you really are thankful instead of giving me the stuff that's left over. And Cain decides, I'm going to go out and kill my brother and then see what happens. And when God confronts him, as you know, and he says, oh, you're going to be a wanderer. He says, oh, but other men will kill me. God doesn't say, well, wait a minute, there aren't any other men. And the text says, I'll put a mark on you, and woe be to the man who kills Cain. And then Cain goes off to the land of Nod. He wasn't asleep. It's a land of wanderings, though some people wander when they're asleep. He goes off to the land of Nod, and he gets married. And the obvious question, as you just asked, where'd they come from? Where'd they come from? Did God create people? Or did God create just two? And then, but wait a minute, where did girls come from? One explanation that I heard and have continued to hear sometimes from folks is, since in the Old Testament, women have relatively limited importance, that actually Adam and Eve had daughters, but they were not important enough to mention, therefore Cain married his sister. I'm thinking, that's incest. No. But why do we have to know where she came from? The point is that sin entered the world, sin continued to grow in the world, and it caused division. It broke up the family. It broke up the relationship with God. It spread to other places as well. And yet, in the midst of all that, God was still there trying to reconcile and reconcile and reconcile people to himself, giving an opportunity. Where'd they come from? Well, you look back to Genesis 1, God creates people. Now, whether that was part of the intention or not, I think the intention very well may have been not so much that, though it's a byproduct, but if it was written in 587 B.C. with all this mysterious, is to say, look, God's not limited to just individual people. God's not limited to just this people group and that people group and this people group. God can speak. If God can speak all this order in the midst of chaos out of nothing, God can create anything and any people that God wants. And part of the message you're supposed to give is that there is a God who creates and who wants to have that relationship. And he's the one who created the universe. And continues to create. What's really interesting is people sometimes think, oh, well, you know, God created all this stuff and then kind of quit after a while. You know, angels and demons and all that kind of stuff, God quit after a while. Even the Sanhedrin disagreed. Sanhedrin, Pharisees said, yeah, angels and demons exist, and they do God's bidding, or they go against God, and we're kind of the rope in a cosmic tug of war. Sadducees said, well, it used to be angels and demons, but then they outlived their purpose, so God just got rid of them all. And it don't exist anymore. But well, Jesus is part of the Godhead, so he was already. But the man comes, and that's where, by the way, that's where these folks will come up and say that Jesus is not divine; he's just a man. Because in places, you know, this Jesus, a man attested to you by miracles and wonders, you know, out of Acts and other places. And so, you know, you've got all this, and I think the bottom line in it all is. You know, there are too many things. I can't remember the physicist's name. He was an astrophysicist back in the mid-70s who did some calculations on the probability of the atoms coming together to form one molecule, not with life, but just one basic molecule. And he calculated it 1 in 10, I think it was to the 350th power, that would happenstance. He said, but that's just a molecule. That's not the spark of life. To try and help people understand it, we can only go so far. We can only understand so much. But there's so much else out there that we don't understand. I mean, look at digitalis. Plant. And yet, what does it do? It helps with the heart. Look at all kinds of other plants that have been, you know, and people who were more in tune with nature used them for eons for different things to take care of, you know, and that's a plant. There are things, of course, with the deforestation of the Amazon, we're probably losing all kinds of cures every day. But, happenstance? On a whim? Just a chance? But I also think it's not that people want these days that people want to know the facts because we can get all these facts pulled together. But it's also because if we can explain it this way and make it impersonal, then I don't have to answer to a God. I don't have to worry about what I do. I can just do whatever. And many do, but I do think a lot of it also comes down to people who don't want to acknowledge that there is a power to which someday we will be answerable, good or bad, and who has a purpose that we need to figure out. And if we want to have a productive life and a good life, live by that as opposed to taking off and it's your thing, do what you want to do. Yeah, sorry, just one of those weird nights. So, I don't know if this got anywhere near your question. I appreciate y'all's input.